my pleasure to introduce Professor Rosenzweig, Smadar Rosenzweig, who is not only very sought after, but has been very sought after in our neighborhood. We tried on a number of occasions to have Smadar Rosenzweig come out to speak to us, and I'm very happy that it worked out now. I understand that Baruch Hashem was a large growing family, and I think you're making a bas mitzvah, we just made a bas mitzvah.
Yeah.
And made a bar mitzvah. So I think she was waiting for all the obligations to mount up. She was looking forward to getting away from home and coming to New Jersey. But in the world of Tanakh, Professor Rosenzweig stands out not only in terms of her lectures and her approach, but also in terms of the Yiras Shemayim. And that makes her not only very sought after, but a unique personality in this whole area, and therefore we're very grateful that you took from your very busy schedule to join us this evening.
Thank you, Rabbi Neuberger. Okay, this evening we're going to be speaking about the Avot and Imahot. And there's so much to speak about the Avot and Imahot. I want to do a specific theme about the Avot and Imahot, and maybe some other time we could develop some others. The two really aspects that I would like to deal with tonight are the relationships between the Avot and Imahot, both in a family context with actual family relationships of the how everyone's related one to the other, and also in the relationships between the Avot and Imahot, and to see that through the Pshat and the Midrash. And the theme that I want to develop tonight, and there are many beautiful themes that we can really develop with the Avot, is the idea of childlessness and having children and tefillah in Sefer Breishit. So that's really the main focus this evening. The truth is there are so many beautiful things to discuss about the Avot and Imahot, but this is really what I'd like to focus on this evening. And it fits perfectly with the Parshiyot, because we're starting with Noach, and we're going to go into Lech Lecha. Usually when we think about the Avot, and we think of Avraham, we usually start with Parshat Lech Lecha, right? Lech Lecha me'artecha mimoladcha, u'beit avicha la'art asha'arecha. But what we see over here is that really the whole story of Avraham begins at the end of Parshat Noach. And one of the reasons the Torah probably does Smichut Parshiot, but moves the story of Avraham to the end of Parshat Noach and doesn't really begin Lech Lecha with it, is one thing to show us that Avraham is really the continuity. That Noach was a survivor, he was successful in his life in making sure the humankind survived, but he really was not a creator. He was not successful. He did not build anything afterwards. What happens when he comes out of the Teva? Number one, Hashem has to push him out practically, right? It's dry. It's very dry. The bird comes back. The bird doesn't have a place to stay. Finally, what does Hashem say? Hashem commands Noach to leave the Teva. So he has to be forced to leave and to start civilization. And in addition to that, what does he do after he leaves the Teva? He builds plants a kerem, and he gets drunk. And instead of having this responsibility now that he's leaving the Teva, he's going to lead humankind, right? What we have is really that he doesn't really fulfill his obligation to be a great leader, to be a leader of humanity. And the one who's going to take it over is Avraham Avinu. Is Avraham, and that's why the end of Parshat Noach is already linked with Noach, because with Noach and Avraham, because Avraham is really going to be the continuity for humanity. But instead of being a continuity for all humanity, from an individual who will teach humanity, but to be one certain family and people that will be a light unto the nations, instead of having all of the nations, which was probably Hashem's intent, as we see from the Pshat and from the Midrashim. When we see the beginning of Abraham and Sarah. Let's look now in first page of the Xeroxes, in Breshit Yud Aleph in Parshat Noach, and we're on Pasuk Kavzayin, Breshit Yud Aleph, Pasuk Kavzayin. Ve'ele toldot Terach, Terach olid Avram et Nahor ve'et Haran, ve'Haran olid Lot. So we have Avraham, Nahor, and Haran were all brothers, and Haran had children, he has Lot. Vayamat Haran al pnei Terach aviv be'eretz moladato be'or kasdim, the famous midrash, why did Haran die? Avraham wanted to show that he really is a monotheist, and Nimrod, who was the king at the time, really challenged him. Avraham was willing to go into the Ur, into the furnace, in order to prove his emunah b'Hashem. And Haran also said, whoever wins this contest, I'm Mishelo, I'm on his side. And when Avraham came out alive, Haran said, ah, I'm also on Avraham's side. He goes into the Kivshana Esh and unfortunately does not survive. So what happens, right? We see that Haran dies, Vayamat Haran al pnei Terach aviv, and the way the Pshat even describes it, it's something unnatural, right? That he died before his father. And what happens? Vayikach Avram v'Nachor lahem nashim. Avram and Nachor get married. Shem eshet Avram Sarai v'shem eshet Nachor Milka. But Haran avi Milka v'avi Yiska. According, right, to even the Pshat, and the Midrash builds on the Pshat, right, who do we know Milka is? Milka is the wife of Nachor. Who is Sarai? The wife of Avraham. So why in the same Pasuk would they tell us Yiska and Milka, right, if they just spoke about Milka and Sarai? Clearly, Yiska is another nickname for Sarai. And according to this, what do we see? Avraham is Sarai's uncle. And not only that, she is Haran's daughter, which means Lot is her brother. Okay, according to this, we see that Avram is Sarai's uncle, right, and Haran is her brother. So we see the connections of the families are very, very close. And beautiful Midrash, look how Rashi quotes the Midrash here. Why is she called Sarai? Sarah, al shem she socha beruach hakodesh, that she sees in Ruach HaKodesh. So Yiska about Sarah already describes that she has Ruach HaKodesh. Hakol Sochin Biofya, she's also beautiful. And also Sarah Lashon Srara, that she has princely qualities. Right? So we have the language Yiska, right, that she has Ruach HaKodesh, that everyone sees she's beautiful, and she is princely, right? She has a regal bearing about her. So right away, right, when the Torah says Yiska, from the word to see, right, the original word for television in Hebrew was Sikayon, from the Shoresh, Yiska, to see, right? And we see right away, Vatihi Sarai Akara Ein Lavalad. Right away the Torah tells us that Sarai can't have children. So now is the question, why does it describe her that way? On the one hand, we see she's called Yiska. And according to the Midrash, Yiska is, she sees Baruch HaKodesh, she has all these special qualities. And on the other hand, the Torah tells us she's Akara. Why does the Torah tell us that? Is the Torah really telling us that if you can't have children, you don't have any value, right? That right away they're describing Sarai as an Akara, Ein Lavalad. Actually, just the opposite. Because what would you expect if the Torah tells us Sarai Akara Ein Lavalad? What should be the next pasuk? Suggestions from the crowd. What would be the next pasuk if it tells us Sarai is Akara? Avram's taking another wife. Meaning you would expect, if the Torah is telling us that Sarai is Akara Ein Lavalad, the next pasuk should be that Avram took another wife. So the message would be, right, he took Sarai, she has no kids, and that's why he took another wife. Her use is basically to have children, and now Avraham has to take another wife because he has big responsibilities in this world. What's fascinating is that the message here is just the opposite. What's the next pasuk? Vayikach Terach et Avram bo, et Lot ben Aran beno, et Sarai kalato eshet Avraham beno, vayitzu mitam miur kasdim. instead of it telling us that Avram takes another wife, it tells us that they are together as a family unit. Meaning Avraham and Sarai, his kala, not only his wife. If it says she's akara ein lavalad, obviously they've been trying for a while, it's not an immediate thing, right? But how does Avram look at Sarai, his wife, still as a kala? Right, he has a special relationship with Sarai and treats her in a special way. That the Torah tells us that their relationship is still of like a hatan and kala, the special personality of Abraham and the special personality of Sarai. What's very nice is that we see this message in the Pshat and also the message in the Midrash that Chazal really emphasized. Because one, on the one hand, with the Ska, right, Chazal really emphasized the personality and specialness of Sarai, right? She's Socha Baruch HaKodesh, she has a regal bearing, she's a beautiful woman, and beautiful is not only physically, but she's a beautiful woman inside and out. That's really the message that we get about Sarai. And they go and they leave to Eretz Canaan, right? They leave together as a unit. And one of the famous things we know in the beginning of Parshat Lech Lecha, in the beginning of Parshat Lech Lecha, what does it tell us? In the beginning of Parshat Lech Lecha, when Abraham leaves to Eretz Canaan, right, it says, "Et ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan." I didn't Xerox everything, but if you want to take Kumashim, you could look it up. Right, "Et ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan." Right, these are famous midrashim that we all know. When Abraham and Sarah leave, they come to Eretz Canaan, right, Lot comes with them as well, right, and we know that, what do they bring with them? Et ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan. And what does that mean? Pshat means they took a lot of possessions. They had a lot of slaves. But what does the Midrash say? Et ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan. What was Avraham doing? Avraham was converting the men, and Sarah was converting the women. So the Pshat tells us, you know, they had a lot of possessions, and they came to Eretz Canaan. But the Midrash, again, wants to emphasize the special quality of Avram and Sarah. Number one, that they were converting individuals. But it wasn't just Avraham that he was the one who was converting and Sarah was in the ohel baking the bread, right? We find that they really worked together as a team. She was baking bread, but also converting the women, right? We find that Sarai was an active partner with Avraham in everything that he did. In their spiritual life, right? In their idealism of leaving Eretz Ur Kasdim and Haran to come to Eretz Canaan, to come to Eretz Yisrael, and to really build a new life. So again, we see this group between Avram and Sarah, that they work together as a couple, they work together as a team in order to fulfill their dreams. Now we know one of the big haftachot that Hashem got, I just will take a, are there chumashim under the chair? One of the haftachot that Abraham got, we know, was the Eschal Goy Gadol. That Abraham was promised that he was going to be a great nation. And what did it just tell us in the beginning about Sarah? The Sarai Akara Ein Lavalad. So on the one hand, again, what would you expect right after Abraham is promised that he's going to be a great nation, right? After a short while, if they see they can't have children, we're expecting Avraham to take another wife. But again, Avraham doesn't do that. We see the connection between Avraham and Sarah, which they are going together as a team. I want to put in another element. We know that Avraham and Sarah, when they left, right, did not have children for quite a long time. And Lot, right, was her brother and was Avraham's nephew. And who comes with them all the time throughout their journeys in the beginning in Eretz Canaan? It's Lot. And Lot is really to them like a surrogate son, because Lot really comes with Avraham and Sarah, and he is the one that they really look to maybe to be the future of Avraham. So Lot, even though they don't have any biological children, Lot is really being groomed to take over the future of Am Yisrael. And that's why we have to realize how painful it was for Avraham when they come back from Eretz Mitzrayim. What happens between Lot and Avraham? right? There's a riv between the ro'im of Lot and the ro'im of Avraham, and Avraham finally says, "Hipared na ma'alai." You have to separate from me. And that's very painful for Avraham. You have to understand, it's not simple at all. It's not, oh, you know, they don't have the same ideology, so he quickly sends him away. He had all his expectations in Lot. And how do we see that Lot had those expectations? Right? Because he was the one who was going to continue from Avraham. There were no other children. Who picks up on this? We see the Midrash. And Rashi quotes the Midrash. What's the famous Midrash over there? Why was there a fight between the Ro'im of Lot and the Ro'im of Avraham? Avraham's shepherds used to muzzle their sheep, and Lot would let them graze wherever they want, because they felt that in the future, right, Lanu nitna ha'aretz, right? Ein la Avraham yorshim. Avraham doesn't have any inheritors, so who's going to really inherit everything? Lot. And Lot, really, since he'll inherit in the future, what does he really deserve already? He already should inherit everything at this point. And what should he do, right? He should act as if he owns Eretz Yisrael, and that's why the pasuk in the end say, "V'haknani v'aprizi az ba'aretz." Meaning, what's the message over there? Why does the pasuk say it? We find the Midrashim many times do parshanut on the psukim. So why does it tell us that? Because we see that Lot didn't have the personality in order to continue in the ways of Avraham Avinu. Meaning he couldn't wait in order to get the future payback in the end. Right? He wanted it today. Immediate satisfaction, immediate gratification. And how do we see that Lot really didn't internalize the message of Avraham? Where does he choose to go? To Sdom. Right? Sdom is the epitome of non-Avrahamism. Right? V'zdom ra'im v'chata'im la'shem ad ma'od. Right? They're really evil people. But what does Lot see? Ki kula mashke. What does he see? It's all green. It's beautiful. So he wants immediate gratification. He wants, right, the success that Avraham is really willing to wait for. But Lot wants it immediately. And that's why they have to split. And that's why Hashem only comes to Avraham after Lot leaves. Right? And the Midrash says, Rashi quotes it, because all the time the Shah Rasha imo, Shechina lo imo. Right? As long as he was with him, Lot was with Avraham, Avraham didn't get Hashrat Hashechina. Why not? The Midrash doesn't tell us. But one reason could be is Lot is Lot and Avraham is Avraham. Why would this really influence Avraham getting Shechina? Getting Hashra'at Hashem, Hashem not speaking to him. Probably, Avraham was so aggravated, he was so disappointed when he saw what Lot was doing. This is just an idea, there are many options obviously. But probably when Avraham was so upset, when he saw that Lot wasn't going in his ways, right, it made him very upset and worried and aggravated. And we know when you're upset and aggravated, right, the Shechina might not be able to really shochen on you. And we see that also in Tanakh, right? Later, Elisha, when he wants to get Hashra'at HaShechina, what does he ask? He asks for someone to play music for him so he can relax, so the Nevuah can come on him. So again, we have to understand that it wasn't easy for Avraham to send Lot away. It was a very difficult situation because he was his only future. He was really the surrogate son, the son that Avraham and Sarah never had, and he really wanted to teach him everything he had and everything he knew, but he could not internalize the message. And what's fascinating later on is that after Lot leaves, right, Avraham still has a soft spot for him. Later on, we have another issue, right, when Lot gets in trouble, the war of the four and the five kings, when Avraham hears Kinishba Achiv, that his brother, right? Even though they parted ways very drastically, Avraham always considered Lot his brother. And he goes and he fights the four and the five kings in order to save them. What's fascinating there is it also says, Vayarek et chanichav yilidei beito. When he lives with Elonei Mamre, it says, Vayarek et chanichav yilidei beito. And I would like to propose that again, after Lot left, what did Avraham do? He settled with Elonei Mamre, right? Aner Eshkol and Mamre, and he tried to set up with them to be the future, Yilidei Beito, as if they were educated and born in his house, and we know that 318 people that went and fought for Abraham were people who were educated in his house, people who maybe were born into the household and learned the ways of Abraham. So now we didn't have Lot, right, as continuity. We have the children, right? Maybe the chanichim, maybe the individuals that would be continuing in Abraham's ways. So we have different aspects, right, of how Abraham is trying to spread the message, right? By inculcating in individuals and having them spread the word of Abraham and of Sarah. But on the other hand, as time goes on, what becomes a bigger and bigger issue? The fact that they don't have children. Hashem promised that they're going to have children, and they don't have children. And this is a very agonizing issue for Avram and Sarah. And yet continuously, throughout this whole thing, what do we see? Abraham does not take on his own initiative another wife. So that is a very interesting theme that we see that travels on. Another interesting theme that is very apropos and really is evident in this whole discussion is the fact that Abraham was Sarah's uncle. That plays a very interesting role, because what does Abraham say when they come to Mitzrayim? How does he define Sarah? What should she say? Achotiat, right? She should say that she's his sister. And that's a very important element about their relationship, that he is her uncle, and they have a very close family relationship, Avram and Sarah. And twice here in Mitzrayim, he says, Achotiat, that she should say she's my sister. Ramban brings a very interesting element. Ramban explains that she really did not want to say that she's a sister, because she was really the wife, and it would put her in a terrible situation. But because she loved Avram so much and had so much respect for her husband, she doesn't say anything. And really, Avraham is the one who proposes when they take her. Because if we look carefully in the Psukim, we see that when they come to Mitzrayim, what happened? Vayhiki kriv lavo Mitzrayimah, vayomer el Sarai ishto, hinena yadati ki shayif at mareat, vayaki yabru otach ha-Mitzrim, vamru ishto zot, והרגו אותי באותך יחיו, אמרינה אחותיית, והיהי כבו עברה מצרימה, והראו המצרים את האישה כי יפה מאוד. They see that she's beautiful, right? והראו אותה שרי פרו, they see her, והיהללו אותה אל פרו, they praise her to פרו, ותוקח האישה בית פרו, and she's taken to בית פרו. So the truth is, even though they have this whole plan to say she's my sister, they can't even say anything in the beginning, because what are the Mitzrim so eager to do? They see a beautiful woman, they take her to the house of Paro. Meaning before they even ask. Only in the end, what does Avram get to do when she's out the door already and they say, oh, so by the way, who is she? Right? Then he said, right, she's my sister. Right? Even though it doesn't say here at all in the Pshat, because later it says, Paro is angry because what did Avraham say? Madua Marta Liachotihi. Right? Why'd you say that she was my sister? But it's an afterthought, meaning she was really taken to begin with. So it's not even Avraham saying she's my sister that initiates her being taken to Beit Paro. But the point I want to make here is the element of Achotiat in the relationship between Avraham and Sarah. And now we move to one of the main issues that we are really going to deal with. Number one, what happens finally when Avram and Sarah really try to have a child through Hagar? Okay. Perek Tzayin in Lech Lecha. Let me see if I... No. What happens here? V'sarai eshet Avram lo yalda lo v'la shivcha mitzrit u'shma Hagar. Right? Sarai has a maidservant whose name is Hagar. And again, fascinating midrash. According to the midrash, who is Hagar? She is Bat Paro. Right? Despite everything that happened with Paro, Paro was so impressed with Avram and Sarah that he gave Hagar as a maidservant to Sarai, which is, again, is fascinating that the Midrash makes that connection, because here Abraham was kicked out of Mitzrayim, and, you know, we don't think that Paro is very impressed with Abraham, and yet we see the Midrash very strongly, because of all places and of all things, who is the maidservant of Sarai? She's a Mitzrit, She's from Mitzrayim. Who would we expect to be the maidservant of Hagar, of Sarai, the main maidservant? Someone from Ur Kasdim, someone from Haran, someone who's traveled with her from a very long time. So who is the only kind of Mitzri that Sarai would be comfortable with, since she is such an important regal-bearing person in her own right? It could only be someone from a regal family, which would be Bat Paro, which would be someone related to the house of the Melech. Vatomar Sarai el Avram, Sarai realizes that she cannot have any children. So the one who initiates the whole issue of having children between Avram and Sarai is really Sarai. Meaning, again, we would expect Avram was promised he'd be a great nation, that he would take another wife. And yet it's Sarai who realizes, number one, her own pain of not having a child, and also the pain of Avram, who really has a chance for a future life. Vayavol Hagar Vatar Vatera ki harata Vatekal Gvirta Beineha. When she sees that she's pregnant, she thinks lightly of Sarai. And this is very interesting. When Hagar becomes pregnant right away, she looks down on Sarai. In contrast to what we have the whole time in Chumash, meaning Sarai is treated so positively and so regally throughout the whole experience of Avram and Sarai, even though she doesn't have children. And yet, right away when Hagar comes into the picture and she's pregnant, what's her first reaction to Sarai? The minute she gets pregnant, she looks down on Sarai. Why? I'm able to have children, you're not able to have children. In the world that we live in, how Hagar saw the world, if you have children, that means you're a good person, God's paying you, you have children. If you're a bad person, you obviously don't have children, and that's how the world works. Who's the one who's really evaluating people by their body and their ability to have children? It's Hagar. It's a woman in Tanakh is the first one who really evaluates things on this level. In Adam and Sarah, Adam and Chava and Gan Eden also, we have none of this evaluation even after the Chet in this way at all, right? She is the Ein Kol Chai, right? Adam calls her the Ein Kol Chai after they leave, right? But who really calls and names the first child? Chava, right? Isha still has the power, right, in the sense of naming the first child. And what would you expect after the story of Adam and Isha, right? I call her Isha because Chava, really, she gets that as a later name, right? But she's called Isha in the whole story of Gan Eden. What is the outcome of that? Yan asher shamata lekol ishtecha, right? You listen to your wife, and that's what happened to you. Now I'm going to punish you. What would you expect all of Tanakh to be filled of later? Don't listen to your wife. Don't listen to your wife. Don't listen to your wife. Look at all the trouble you can get into if you listen to your wife. And yet, what do we see here in Perek Tetzayin, right? Vayishma Avram lekol Sarai. Avram listens to the voice of Sarai and takes Hagar in order to have a child with Hagar, either as a surrogate child for Sarai and Abraham, or as a chance that the child is really going to continue the future of whatever Abraham was promised. So we can see here two different levels, right? On the one hand, we see Abraham agreeing with Sarai to do this act, right? But it's because Sarai asked him to do it. And Ramban has a beautiful perush, and he says the only reason it says Vayishma Avram lekol Sarai, because there's no way he would have done it on his own. Because he loved Sarai so much that he would never have taken another wife. The only reason he did this is because Sarai is the one who asked that he should do this. On the other hand, how is Hagar evaluating the world? Right? Everything is in terms of having children. The way your rank in this world and your position all has to do with your having children. So it's very interesting that we have the two side by side. So right away when she's pregnant, Vatekal Gvirta Beineha. And that is very upsetting to Sarai. And that's why Vatomer Sarai el Avram, Chamasi Alecha, Anochi Natati Shivchati Bechekecha, I'm giving you my maidservant. And she, Vatera Ki Harata, she sees she's pregnant, Vaikal Beineha, and she looks down on me. Yishpot Hashem Beinu Beinecha. Meaning it was all of a sudden a shock for Sarai. We see how she was treated so well her entire life, that all of a sudden that Hagar evaluates her in this way is really a shock to Sarai. And what does she expect from Abraham? that he should do something and not let Hagar treat her in this way, right? Because Avram has always protected her, always treated her in a special way, and all of a sudden Hagar says these words, Avram should really defend her, right? That is Sarai's point. Now I zero off the few midrashim that are very interesting to look at. Number one, the question is, right, how come they do this after 10 years? Right, after 10 years of living in Eretz Knan, right, she gives Hagar to Avram. So this is the famous midrash, right, that after you live together for 10 years, if you don't have children, then the couple can get divorced. And if you move to Eretz Yisrael, right, you have another, Ramban explains this midrash, right, that you have another 10 years to try again, because Eretz Yisrael is so special. So they lived outside of Eretz Yisrael for several years, obviously, but when they came to Eretz Yisrael, a span of another 10 years starts again for the special Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. But a very important question is, why do we have the Imahot barren to begin with? Meaning, why don't we just have the Imahot? We know in Judaism having children is so central, and Purim is so central, and we know continuity is so central. So why do we have all the Avot and Imahot as barren? We should really all have them have children right away. That's the ultimate message, right? Bottom two lines I'm going to read. Rabbi Levi Nishem Rav Shila Dichvar Tamarta Rav Chelbok Shem Rav Yochanan Shakodesh Baruch Hu Mit'aveh L'Tfilatan U'Mit'aveh L'Sichatan. The question is, Lama Nit'akru Ha'imahot? Right? Why were the Imahot made barren? So number one is Shakodesh Baruch Hu Mit'aveh L'Tfilatan U'Mit'aveh L'Sichatan. Hashem wanted the Imahot and Avot to daven. And that's why Hashem made them akarim and akarot. Meaning it's such an important element not to think that the natural process is natural, right? And not to really feel this special understanding that Hashem really intervenes and Hashem really plays a tremendous role in bringing children into this world, that Hashem wanted, number one, for them to daven to Hashem, and especially the imahot. That the imahot have a special tefillah, have a special ability in special tefillot, that Hashem wanted to hear the tefillah of the imahot. Meaning, number one, it's a special tefillah in and of itself, right, for the imahot to daven. It's for them something of a self-realization, and also it's something that really is special for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's on a double level. It's on the individual level of davening to Hashem, and also of Hashem hearing the tefillah. What happened? When Hagar became pregnant, right, she looked down on Sarah. And that's why the Midrash brings it in here. So why did we have her akara? Why not, you know, have Sarah have children immediately? What's the other Midrash? Look on the next page. Right? And what's the sukkim that we learn this from? In Shira Shirim, Harini et Marayet Hashmiini et Kolech. Right? What's the beauty? Right? We learn from Shira Shirim that the call and seeing the Imahot Davin, right? The tefillah of the Imahot is so special, and that's really what it means in Shira Shirim. The Midrash many times brings sukkim from different places to really accent its point. Rav Azariah Mishum Rav Chanina Bar Papa, Kidei Shiyu Mitrapkot Al Baalehem Benoyan. Another interesting view, that before you have children, right, you're beautiful and wonderful, right, and once you have children, you don't look so good anymore. So Hashem wanted the relationship between the Avot and Imahot to be so special and so unique, right, that they would always be like Chatan and Kala. So this way, they had this special, special relationship to show us that there's a very important element of the relationship between husband and wife, that even after you have children, you shouldn't forget, right, that the important element as well in a relationship is the husband and wife, and not only, right, the children and taking care of them. What's another view? Kidei sheyetzu rok shanim b'lo shiyabud. why were they akarot? The longer span they didn't have children, the farther off we can push off and make less shiabud mitzrayim. Because there's a certain amount of time that was allotted, right? And the longer they don't have children, the longer the children aren't in this bad situation. So this is very interesting. But let's go to the end. That's the point of Hagar. What I put in parentheses, right? When Hagar became pregnant, right? Everyone would say, oh, Hagar, you look terrible. You have morning sickness, right? Everyone would ask Sarah, how are you doing? How are you feeling? And she said, don't ask me. You know, ask Hagar. She's not feeling so well. She doesn't look so well. But Hagar would answer back, Sarai gvirti ein sitra kibulya. She's obviously, her insides are not like her outsides. Nir et tzadeket ve'inat tzadeket. She's not really a tzadeket. Ilu haita tzadeket, ru'u kama shanim shalo nitabra, va'ani balayla achad nitabarti. What we see is implied in the pshat, right, that Hagar is making fun of Sarah, right, when she becomes pregnant. The Midrash actually elaborates and spreads it and says it plain out. What does the Midrash say? Hagar views everything in physical situation, in a physical world. Everything is physical. If you have children, that means somewhere in the upper world you are a spiritual being. If you don't, you're not. Meaning life is very simplistic, right? The tzaddikim always get paid well, and the Rishaim always are suffering. Meaning life is very simplistic. That's Hagar's view of the world. Very, very simplistic. Right? And Sarah realizes that world is a little more complex. It doesn't work that way as well. So here we see the two different views. And what is Sarai complaining to Abraham? And this is also fascinating. After Abraham fights with the four of the five kings, Hashem says, you know, what should I give you, right? Because I really promised you and gave you everything. And what does Abraham ask? What does he say? Ma titen li va'anochi holech ariri. What do you give to me? I don't have children. And what do we see? Again, Midrash is so fascinating. What does it mean? Yishbot Hashem b'ni u'b'necha. I'm angry at you. Hamasi alecha. Why was Sarai angry at Abraham? Abraham was such a wonderful husband, right? He really was so caring about her. So why is she angry? She's angry because she says, look, Hein li nonatata zera, this Midrash on the other side is still continuing in the Bereshit Rabba. Hein li nonatata zera, lecha yehav, li la yehav. What should you have asked when you were promised by Hashem that Hashem will give you anything you want? What did you say? Ma titen li v'anochi holech ariri. Right? What did you ask for? You asked for yourself. Right? You asked only children for yourself, and that's why she's upset. If you would have davened for both of us, we both would have had children together. But since you didn't, right, so now I'm giving you Hagar, so at least you can fulfill your potential. Right? And you can have a child. So already here we see, right, the tension, right, that not having children is really leading to, right, between Avram and Sarai. But she does something so selfless. She really gives in this great relationship. She brings in Hagar into the relationship, and the Midrash that we didn't read above, and Rashi quoted, and you see Rashi quotes many, many Midrashim, right, when he gives her to Isha, he doesn't give her the Pilegesh, meaning Sarai gives Hagar as an Isha, a full-fledged wife. So now that we have all of this background, I really want to deal with the different themes. So the question is, when do Avram and Sarai together have a child? Meaning, what changes when Avram and Sarai together have a child? Here we know Hagar becomes pregnant. She has to leave the house for a while, but she comes back and she has Ishmael. But when do Avram and Sarai have a child? Number one, they only have a child after her name is changed to Sarah. Only have a child after her name is changed to Sarah, and here I Xerox a lot of the pshat that we want to read. A second time they go down to, we're on page 4, and we're in Perek Kaf. A second time they go down to outside of Eretz Knan, they go down to Avimelech, Melech Grar. And what does he say again when they come down to Avimelech, Melech Grar? What does he say? Achotia. He says she's my sister, right? And what happens? Avimelech takes her as a wife, and again, he gets punished, and Hashem says, no, she's a married woman. And this is very interesting. What does Hashem tell Avimelech in his dream? Look where I have the star. Hashem eshet ta'ish kinavihu. Right? We're in Perakak, Pasuk Zion 7. Give back this man's wife, kinavihu. He's a navi. V'yitzpalel ba'adcha. V'chiyeh. And he has to pray for you, and you will live. V'imencha meshiv. But if you don't give back the wife, da'kimot tamut ata v'kol asherlach. Everything that you have. When Avimelech gets up in the morning, he asks, how could he do such a horrible thing? Right? And what does he say? He said, you know, when I left, every place we went, I said she was my sister. Now look, Pasuk Tetvav, Vayomer Avimelech, Hine Artzi Lofanecha, Ba'atov Beinecha Shev. Go and live wherever you want. Ulesara Amar, to Sarah he says, Hine Natati Elef Kesef Lachich, I'm giving 1,000 pieces of silver. What does he know Avram really is? Her husband, right? But since they kept on saying Achi, so he's playing along. It will be a covering for the eyes. And all the Midrashim, what does it mean, a covering for the eyes? When other people look at her, they'll know she's his wife, and therefore they won't touch her. What does it mean here? The Breshit Rabbah says something unbelievable here. It says, what did Avimelech think? Avimelech said, you know, every place you go, you say she's my sister, you get a lot of money for it. It's terrible to put her in this kind of situation, right? How could you do this kind of thing? But really, what's the message that Avimelech is telling Abraham and that the Torah is telling us here? Twice he said, what about Sarah? She's my sister, she's my sister. That's one element, right? And when it says Hinei Yadati Ki Isha Yifat Mareach, he didn't really realize how beautiful she was, right, until that point. On the other hand, we have something very interesting here. What does it say? Avimelech is to say to Avraham, right, or that nothing will happen to Avimelech until Avimelech davens. Again, we're working on two different lines here. What happened? Pasuk Yudzayin, Vayitpalel Avraham El Elokim. Vayirpa Elohim et Avimelech ve'et ishto ve'et amotav v'yaladu. Abraham is not told the tzivui here to daven. Hashem tells Avimelech, you'll see, the only way you'll be healed is if he davens for you. Hashem doesn't say, okay, Abraham, now you have to daven for Avimelech to make him healthy. But what do we see here? On his own instinct, Abraham davens, and it's the first time we have the actual word filah for the first time mentioned here. The Midrash Breshit Rabbah mentions, this is the first time we have the actual shoresh of tefillah used here. So the first time is when Abraham davens, and who is he davening for? He's davening for Avimelech, that his wife and all of his maidservants should have children. What did Sarah criticize Abraham? That when he didn't have any children, what did he say? Right? Anochi olech ariri, mati ten liv anochi olech ariri. Right? What will you give me? I have no children. Right? And what does Sarah criticize him? You didn't daven for us. You davened for yourself. Here, when Abraham's in a situation, what is he daven for? Not only Avimelech's wife, but even all the maidservants who couldn't give birth. What was the punishment that they got? Because he took Sarai, I should say, right? That all of the maidservants and his wife, right, couldn't have any children. What do we see here? Avram's response is, Lihit Palel. What is the Elef Kesef? Right, Avimelech is saying, you have to change your attitude towards Sarai. How have you been viewing her all the time? She's like my sister. She's my niece. She understands everything that I'm going through. Meaning, what did Avram have to do, maybe, before he can reevaluate Sarah? Maybe you have to take a step back, and not always, b'ksut einayim, you have to change your outlook. Maybe Avimelech is telling Avraham, right, you're always thinking of her as your sister. And they're working as a team. And sometimes you take people for granted when you're together with them and they're with you and they support you 100%. right? What is the message here? That Avram has to maybe look at Sarah with different eyes, with a ksut enai, maybe in a new light, to realize that he's davening for the whole world, he's converting the whole world, he's caring about everyone, he fights for Sdom, he fights with the four and five kings, he doesn't want Hashem to destroy Sdom, he prays for them, but close to home, right? Maybe Avraham also, right, should focus his insight, his sight inward. And here, Avraham learns the message from what happens with Avimelech. Avraham is willing to daven for Avimelech, because Avimelech, right, his wife and all of his wives couldn't give birth. And what does Avraham do? He davens for them. Vayukalokim et Avimelech vetishto v'amotav v'yeledu. Ki atzorak tzar Hashem ba'ad kol rechem levet Avimelech al dvar Sarah eshet Avraham. And what's the next pasuk? Vashem pakaret Sarah kasher amar. So the question is, how come this whole parasha is linked to Sarah becoming pregnant and for her giving birth? So here we have a beautiful midrash that Rashi brings in. Go on the next page, page 5. And this is a famous midrash and Rashi that we all know. Vashem pakad et Sarah, where the asterisk is. Samach parsha zukan lelamedcha shakol mevakesh rachamim al chavero. If you can muster up the tefillah to daven for someone else when you really need that exact same thing, meaning there's nothing more than Abraham wanted than to have a child with Sarah, right? He really loved Ishmael, but there's nothing more that Abraham wanted than having a child with Sarah, especially what Hashem promised him, that he was going to have a child with Sarah and they were going to name the child Yitzchak, right? So on the one hand, for him to muster all of this tefillah to daven for Avimelech, what's implied here in this midrash, and clearly the psukim and the smichut parshiot imply it as well, is that when Avram was davening for Avimelech, he also realized, right, that in a sense he's also davening for himself. But he really is davening for Avimelech because he really wants Avimelech to have children, but that whole experience really taught Avraham, and he understood, number one, the importance of tefillah, because Hashem tells Avimelech, you'll see, he's going to daven for you and it'll all turn out okay. And through this tefillah, what did Avraham realize? That tefillah could do really miraculous things. That tefillah is on a tremendous level, right? And he was answered. Shne'emar, v'itpalel v'gomer, usmichle v'Hashem pakad et Sarah. Shepakad kvar kodem shiripat Avimelech. That Hashem really already made Sarah able to have a child before Avimelech and his all of Amahot were cured. So what I would like to suggest here is that this tefillah was also for Avraham. Right? He really was davening for Avimelech, clearly, but that whole experience really made him understand and internalize the message of the importance of tefillah, and that tefillah either implied or doesn't tell us, but the Midrash is definitely emphasizing it, that maybe somewhere, right, Avraham was davening for himself, or that his earlier tefillot by davening for Avimelech in such a special way really highlighted for him the importance of this tefillah, because it's really linked with the idea of tefillah. And the question is, how important is tefillah? And tefillah is very important. Because later on, when Ishmael has to be sent away from the home, what do we see? Let's go to Pasuk Perakabalit, right? Batar, Batelet Sarah, Sarah has a child. Avram calls the child Yitzchak. They give the child the Brit Milah. We're on page 4. We're back to page 4. Yitzchak grows up, and Sarah sees that Ishmael is not really the right kind of playmate for Yitzchak, and she says Garesh Hama Azot Ve'etbna Ki Lo Yirash Ben Hama Azot Im Bni Im Yitzchak. Right? Ishmael has to leave because he can't inherit with Yitzchak. He is not the same kind of personality. He's going to ruin Yitzchak. And again, you have to realize, just like when Avram had to send away Lot, this is very difficult for Sarai as well. Because for so many years, for 13 years, what was Sarah? she was really a surrogate mother. She was another mother to Ishmael. She was raising Ishmael, and all their expectations were that Ishmael would be their son. So even though she has her own child now, she still has a very close relationship with Ishmael. But she's so distraught when she sees what kind of person Ishmael is, right? And he's really not living up to the expectations. He's mitzachek, and with all that it implies, maybe gilor ayot shvichut amim and avodah zarah, that the Midrash says he's doing, but he can't live together with Yitzchak. Avraham is very upset. Number one, Ishmael is totally Avraham's biological child. But in addition to that, right, again, it's so distressful, because what did Avram have to do earlier on when Lot had to leave? He raised someone like his child, and he had to let him go. Here, too, he is his biological child, and he really is very reticent to let him go. And what does the Midrash, and what does the Pshat say? Avram doesn't want to send him. And the Midrash Bereshit Rabbah says, Otsemeinav Meraot Barato Shel Rasha. He closed his eyes. He didn't want to see what kind of a person Ishmael really was. Who really saw? And again, we have to understand that it's very difficult for her to send the child away. What does Hashem say? Kol asher tamar elecha sarah shma bekola ki bitzchaki kare lecha zera. Right? Until this point, and with this point, we see only one child can really carry the legacy. And Ishmael does not have what it takes to carry the legacy. Avraham has to know that, and he has to be willing to let Ishmael leave and go on his own route, but only Yitzchak is going to continue the legacy. So that is, again, very difficult for Avraham. And again, what does the Torah say? Earlier on it says, Vayishma Avraham kol Sarai. So you could say, well, Avraham listened to her voice, but it was a mistake, just like Adam listened to the voice of Sarah, of Isha, and it was a mistake, and he got punished for it. Here, what's the emphasis? Right? That he listened to her voice, and it was the right thing. What does Hashem say? Kol asher tamar elecha sarah shma bekola. You have to listen to her voice. And we see the idea of the voice, of the call, either of giving instructions or of tefillah, is very central. Because she is really trying to make the perfect environment for Yitzchak. And what's the counterbalance here? What's the counterbalance? We see Ishmael. When Hagar goes out with Ishmael, let's just continue here because it's very interesting. Vayashkem Avram baboker, and Hagar has to leave. Vayishlachea, and she gets lost. Pasuk Tedvav is where we're starting. Vayichlu hamayim min achemet, there's no water in the jug. Vatashlecha tayelet tachad achad asichim. When she sees there's no more water in the jug, she throws the boy down. That's unheard of. Right, there's just no water left in the jug, and what does she do immediately? Right, she throws the boy under one of the sichim, under one of the bushes. Vatelech vateshev la mineged, she sits opposite. Harchek kemetachave keshet, as far as you can throw an arrow. How far is that? That's very far. There's no water in the jug. She throws the child down. Vatashlech, she throws the child down under a bush. Right, far away as you can shoot an arrow. Vateshav la mineged, she sits far away, vatev, vatisat kola vatev, and she cries. And what kind of crying is she doing? Crying because she thinks the child is dead, or is going to die. Meaning, she already has closed the book on this child, because she threw him away under one of the bushes, far away as you can throw an arrow, shoot an arrow, and she cries. Is this tefillah? Is this tefillah for the child? Is this a youthful tefillah? Vayishma Elokim et kol hanar. Why does Hashem listen to the kol hanar? Why does Hashem listen to the voice of the nar? Right? Vayikra malach Elokim el hagar min hashamayim. Hashem hears the voice of the nar, and what's the famous Rashi? Vayishma Elokim et kol hanar. Et kol hanar, right? Because yafat tefillat hachole al atzmo, right, v'hi mitkabela tefillah, right? What's nicer, the tefillah of the chole for himself than other people praying for him? So number one, we see that Ishmael was crying. He was really desperate. He was crying for his life. But when Hagar was crying, she might have been crying for Ishmael as well, But what kind of tefillah is it, as we see from the background? She is crying, but she really pretty much thinks that the child is going to die. Because she's sitting so far away, she's not taking care of the child. So Hashem hears the call of the Na'ar, which means somehow, if you're in deep trouble, you can't only rely on other people to daven for you, you have to daven for yourself, right? Sarah tries, she brings in Hagar. It doesn't say anywhere in the Peshat that Sarah davened, but from everything we see, right, we are assuming that Sarah davened and tried everything in her power to have a child. Abraham, right, has to learn the lesson. He comes, he sees the whole thing with Abimelech, and he davened. Here, the Midrash, the Peshat is trying to show us, right, that in this situation, who would you expect the tefillah to be listened to? We all would expect, the way the Pesukim are built, that it would be Hagar. You know, she's crying over the child, it's her child, it's her only child, she's absolutely horrified. But Hashem hears the Kol Hanar. And what does Malach Hashem say to Hagar? Al tiri ki shama Elohim el Kol Hanar v'asher Rusham. Again, even when Malach Hashem appears to Hagar, what does it say? Whose voice did we listen to? To Kol Hanar, not to your voice. So why is the Malach stalking her all the time? Right? Because she really is not ideally compassionate. The Malach tells her, Kumi, get up. Se'i et Hanar, hold the boy. Hachziki et yadechbo, hold his hand. Ki legoi gadol asimenu. Meaning Hagar was totally distraught and she gave up hope. Again, what's the one thing we see of Avraham constantly in the Beit Avraham? You never give hope. You always try. No matter what you have to do, you try and you do whatever you have. You have to say achoti after. You have to do something like that. So you do it. You have to really try to make sure the continuity. What happens with Hagar? She gets disillusioned very easily. The minute she's out of the house of Avraham, right? What happens? And she panics. She throws the child. She lets him die. She says, I don't want to see the kid die. Right? So what's the Malach saying? You want to take care of a child, what do you have to do? If the baby's sick, you don't throw him far away and don't look. You hold the baby in the hand. Give him something to drink. You run around frantically getting something for the baby to eat, but you hold one. It's a big child. Doesn't matter the age. Right? You hold the child. You take care of him. Right? And the Malach has promised, Goy gadol asimenu, right? He's going to be successful. Right? Even not for the own sake of the child, but the child will be successful. What does the Malach Hashem do and Hashem do? He opens up her eyes so she could see that there's a Be'er Mayim. Right? And then finally she gets him a wife. Right? So we see that she's trying to take a more active role in her son's life. But the contrast is stark to Sarah. Again, how does Hagar evaluate? Sarah doesn't have kids. She's not so important. Here the child is sick. Okay, she gives up right away. What do we see with Sarah? She never gives up, right? She tries, she gives Hagar, and after that she sees that Ishmael is a bad influence on Yitzchak, she sends Ishmael away, even though she knows, what could that make between Avram and Sarah? Tension between, this is Avraham's son, it's not so simple for Avram to accept that he's going to let Ishmael go, right? And yet, she is tenacious, right? And she wants the best for Yitzchak and how he's going to be raised and how his future is going to be. She is very focused on that, right? Exact contrast to Hagar, who doesn't really care. And her tefillah is not real tefillah, right? She's crying because she thinks the die al rebbe mot hayeled, but she's not really davening for the health of the child. It's Ishmael's tefillah that is really coming through. So here again, we see how interesting. We have the issue of tefillah, we have the issue of family, right? How Avraham, we see how his tefillah really is the final crux in making sure that Avram and Sarah have a child, because Avram also had to daven, right? And the Midrash is implying clearly that the Imahot for sure daven. Now we go, quickly, we see in the next issue, what happens with Rivka and Yitzchak. We have the same dynamic, right? They don't have any children. And what happens there? Vayetar Yitzchak l'Hashem l'nochach ishto, on page 6. Ki akarahi. When Yitzchak and Rivka daven, Yitzchak is davening l'nochach ishto. Right? Number one, what doesn't Yitzchak do? Doesn't take another wife. Right? Number two, who is he davening? Where is he davening? Opposite his wife. L'nochach ishto. What lesson did he learn? from Avram and Sarah, not Mati Ten Li. No way is Yitzchak going to daven for himself. No way is he going to daven without Rivka right there in the room. Right? By Itar Yitzchak Lashem Lo Nochach Isho. They are davening together, one opposite the other. Ki Aparahi. Look at the Ktav and the Kri. The Ktav is what? Who? And the Kri is he. And the Gemara in Yevama Samach Vav has said something very interesting, that Yitzchak was an Akar as well. Right? So both of them couldn't have any children. Right? So he is an Akar, she's an Akara, and they both daven for each other, but not only because they're both Akarim and they think that they can't get married out and that's why they daven for each other, but on principle, they daven for each other. Right? And what does it say? Zo medet, now we're reading the Rashi, where it has the star. Zo medet bezavit zu. Right? Vezeo med bezavit zu mitpalel. Right? They're each standing in opposite corners, davening for each other. But the Breshit Rabba is beautiful here, and again, I don't know why. I think I didn't want to xerox too many pages. The Breshit Rabba elaborates. Rashi many times summarizes what the Breshit Rabba says. The Breshit Rabba here says, why? Shekol banai yumit sadik zeh. And he says, Shekol banai yumit sadek et zo. They're both only one children from each other. So we see that with Yitzchak and Rivka, right, they are both davening, right, for each other. Meaning they only want to have children from each other as opposed to going through the whole trouble, right, with Avram and Sarah. And yet, it shows us that even when the two have all the children together, trouble doesn't end there because they have Yaakov and Esav. Meaning, if he would have thought that it was so easy for Avraham to send Yishmael away because Yishmael was not his genetic child, right, the story of Esav and Yaakov comes along to show us it's not an issue that Avraham was so flip or Sarah was flip with Yishmael because it wasn't her child. Because what happens, yes, they do have children together, but even so, what is there? There's a Yaakov and Esav, and one can't have the legacy of Am Yisrael. Because what does Esav want? He wants Har Seir LaReshet Oto immediately. In the Haggadah, what's the psukim that we read about Esav? Vayerash Esav et Har Seir LaReshet Oto v'Yaakov v'Anav Yardu Mitzrayma. What's the contrast? Again, immediate gratification. Esav couldn't wait the long term down the road. What do we see with Lot? He couldn't wait long term down the road to get the final reward. That's part of the issue of Bnei Israel. They have that ability to wait. But here we see that they are both davening for each other. And again, they don't have children without the element of tefillah. With all the avot, we see with Abraham, he davens for Avimelech, him and Sarah have a child. We see that Yitzchak and Rivka daven for each other, they have a child. The more complicated issue is when we come to Rachel and Leah and Yaakov. And here, since we don't have a lot of time, but we're going to develop two aspects of it. What happens? We know that Yaakov...